It's not a matter of if you'll need traffic and weather for your drive-in. It's when. Get it every 10 minutes on the 10s with Wills and Snyder on WTAM 1100. Cleveland's News Radio.
Crab continues to roll. 12th in a row yesterday. 5-3 win, but Bauer looked good. And it's Steeler week, can you tell? Mike Snyder's got sports coming up for you in 4 minutes on News Radio WTAM 1100. It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite checks in from Channel 3's Morning News. You can watch him there this morning. WTAM.com, keyword save. Let's get right to it. Look, we see these poor people suffering with hurricanes. Florida's getting ready, of course, with Irma. Right away, you got to have your smartphone powered up. You have come across a great tech item on this Tech Tuesday to keep us powered up, and you did your research, too.
I did. Unfortunately, I had to do my research. It was the number one request. Many of our listeners right now may know that I actually air in different parts of the country, and I have a massive audience in Texas. One quarter of my YouTube subscribers are based in the areas that were hit during the hurricanes, which I did not realize.
Wow.
So I had a chance not only to research a lot of tech, but we donated 3 crates of items like what I have today to try and help out as much as possible.
Okay.
I'm flagging this now not because we're facing the same issues in Northeast Ohio, but this is just a really good item for Will's Ways to Save Tech Tuesday, and also good before the next storm hits. We have winter storms, we have blackouts, we have the lightning we had last night, we have issues.
Sure.
So if you take a look at everything you know about power banks and chargers and fast chargers, and I'm referring to those fast chargers that utilize the technically certified fast charge method to get your smartphone battery up to speed. Mm-hmm. What I found today is kind of like one of those little power bricks, kind of like a little power charger, but it combines all three. It gives you the fastest charge time you'll get for an Apple or Android, and it gives you 40 additional hours on average for an iPhone, which is for 6 extra chargers, had a very similar effect on my Samsung phone, and whatever it is you're trying to charge. It's the worst feeling when you can't get your phone on to complete that emergency call.
Look, life, death, emergency, but also just convenience, keeping things powered when you're on the move, including laptops. This thing's strong enough to do that, right?
It is strong enough to do that, absolutely. If you're so fortunate to have a port where this could work with your laptop, that would be great for all of us listening right now. If you have an Android tablet or an iPad, this, for example, on an iPad 2 will give you an entire additional day of battery life. And as Bill alluded to, yeah, this would be great for travel. It's great for back to school. It has so many utilities where you hope it has nothing to do with the storm.
Absolutely. How much?
Here we go. $19.99. Wow. Can handle 2 devices simultaneously, all safety features, overcharge protection. And in it, at its core, is a battery made by BlackBerry.
Wow. Tomorrow we'll do some safety stuff on fire for you on Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword safe. See the video, couple of clicks, and you'll be powered up all the time. Good work. Matt, thanks much.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15:45 past. Mike's in and the Tribe rolls.
Yeah, Bill, they haven't lost a game in nearly 2 weeks. They kept on rolling in Chicago yesterday.
Swung on, this has hit a ton. Deep right field. This ball is gone. Clears the bullpen and into the seats in right. And Jose Ramirez keeps pummeling the baseball. His 5th home run on this road trip. His 23rd home run of the year. And the Indians get a big insurance run here in the 8th. And now lead this ball game 5-3.
Yes, they would go on and win it by that score. That's 12 in a row, longest win streak in baseball this year, Tito says.
We'll show up tomorrow and try to win again. We don't, what happened 10, 12 days ago doesn't matter. Just we'll show up tomorrow and see if we can beat the White Sox. That's the best way to go about it.
Trevor Bauer won 6 3rd innings. He now has 15 wins. In the 12-game streak, the Indians are just bludgeoning their opponents. They've scored 84 runs, the opponents 21. So the Tribe's averaging 7 runs a game. Their opponents not even 2. Indians will try to keep it going tonight at 8-10. Danny Salazar off the DL will pitch. He'll probably limit his pitch count, but he's going to get the start. Indians trail Houston now by 3 games for the best record in the American League. Astros are hot now. They've won 5 straight. Verlander will make his Houston debut tonight. Again, Indians and White Sox tonight at 8-10. Right here, elsewhere in baseball, Arizona's J.D. Martinez hit 4 home runs. Diamondbacks have now won 11 straight. And Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins hit his 53rd homer. The Browns are getting ready to open the season Sunday when they host the Steelers. The Browns have 4 quarterbacks on their roster, and not one of them has won a game in the NFL. On the reality of that, Hugh Jackson says...
Well, it's the new year, so we're starting over a little bit, and Deshaun's our starter, and he hadn't played one regular season game. So we were going to have a quarterback that was going to have a 0-0 record. So hopefully we can earn some wins this year.
Brown Steelers Sunday at 1. Steelers are going to get running back Le'Veon Bell back. He's been in a holdout, but is back with the team this week. He'll probably play Sunday. NFL season starts Thursday with New England hosting Kansas City. A big week for the Buckeyes. They'll host Oklahoma Saturday night, the coach says.
A lot of work to be done as a great football team comes in here. We have a lot of respect, obviously, for the personnel and the way they do their business. So this will be a great opportunity for us to showcase in front of a big crowd and come back home and play a game.
Urban Meyer's Buckeyes and the Sooners of Oklahoma have a 7:30 kickoff Saturday. College football last night, double overtime. Tennessee rallied to beat Georgia Tech 42-41 in double OT, as I said. And coming up at 5:45, 15-game winner Trevor Bauer gives us his take on the Tribe's 12-game win streak. Home of the Indians and the Cavaliers, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Busy news morning out of Washington.
His abusive use of missiles and his nuclear threats show that he is begging for war. War is never something the United States wants. We don't want it now. But our country's patience is not unlimited.
Nikki Haley, the ambassador at the UN, in a special meeting yesterday about North Korea. Meanwhile, President Trump today expected to make an announcement on this DACA program.
We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me, I will tell you. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects. They were brought here in such a way. It's a very, very tough subject. We are going to deal with DACA with heart.
The dreamers be worried.
We love the dreamers. We love everybody. Thank you very much.
President Trump loving everybody. Our Joe Gomez joins me from Washington this morning. Joe, let me take you through a couple of stories we've been following or hearing about. Oh, by the way, Congress is back in session, too. Let me get first North Korea in here. He tested something else, caused an earthquake. Haley and the UN Security Council has met. I'm not sure what else we can do about North Korea, but that's also one of the stories out of the White House this morning, right?
Well, yeah, President Trump over the weekend had said that he would threaten to cut off trade to any country that that does business with North Korea as a result of North Korea's latest hydrogen bomb test, which is its largest nuclear bomb test and potentially most devastating to date that it could potentially put on a intercontinental ballistic missile. So that's something that Trump mused about on Twitter. He hasn't made it official yet, but I think a lot of people have been reacting to it all across the world, saying that it could be a disastrous for the international economy, saying it would be apocalyptic, closer to the end, all sorts of saber rattling there. But I think it shows that President Trump is taking this North Korea threat very seriously.
All right, let's talk DACA now. Even former President Obama is waiting to see what Trump says about this. So let's reset this first. Explain to me what DACA is and why it's a story now.
Well, DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It was first put in place back in 2012, and it basically protects people that were brought into the country illegally as children or under the age of 16 that are enrolled in a school of some kind, haven't gotten into any kind of criminal trouble. And so it protects a lot of these so-called dreamers. They're called dreamers because clearly these young illegal immigrants, and oftentimes now they've come into adulthood, but they're still pursuing education, are dreaming of becoming citizens in some capacity or another, but there's simply no pathway forward for them. So, they're contributing to society, they're trying to better themselves, but they simply don't have the rights of any other American. And so there was a program called DACA that was put in force by Obama to protect them. So President Trump is considering ending this program. It certainly has roiled the Republican Party. A number of Republicans in heavily Latino or immigrant districts are getting a lot of feedback because of this. But according to Politico, President Trump could end the program, but with a six-month delay, giving Congress a window to revamp it.
Now let's drive by both arguments, at least that I understand. Several states have sued the federal government because they say Obama was overreaching his executive privilege by putting this in place, although the president does have a say, the say, if you will, on immigration. On the other hand, I was reading over the weekend, there were groups that are saying, look, these DACAs, these Dreamers, are also taking opportunities away from millennials. They're taking jobs away as well, or placement in college. So that looks to be the two arguments. On the other hand, what do you do with these kids? They're here under no fault of their own, I guess.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of different elements to this discussion and to this argument. So it's going to be very tricky for the president, I think, to walk a fine line on this without ultimately upsetting a large segment potentially of his own party.
But the 6 month delay, if that's what he does, that kicks it over to Congress to say, okay, you finally get past this Dream Act, which the Senate couldn't pass a few years ago. Come up with something legislatively to answer the problem then.
Yeah, it sounds okay. Like that's probably where the president is going to be leaning on this issue. But who knows where Congress is going to go on it, because clearly they've got a full plate ahead of them as they come back from a long summer recess.
Joe Gomez, Washington this morning. Joe, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, on Congress, they're back in session. A to-do list, though, that includes the fiscal year deadline, natural disasters, spending money, presidential directives. Treasury Secretary said he and President Trump believe returning Congress should raise the debt ceiling and approve an initial portion of funding for Hurricane Harvey recovery. White House has asked Congress to approve an initial $7.85 billion in supplemental spending, ASAP. Meanwhile, the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, spent some time with President Trump on the phone yesterday. Florida is preparing for the possibility of getting hit by Hurricane Irma, now sweeping towards the Caribbean. By declaring a state of emergency last night, weather models showed this thing on several different tracks, either hitting the west coast of Florida or swinging and then going up through the panhandle, or then going up through the Carolinas, or swinging around, hitting it from the west in the Gulf, and hitting it that way as well. So South Florida getting ready.
You know, Joe, the first year we talked about this, it was fascinating to me. And now I just Google you, and you come up over and over again. I mean, this thing has truly grown. It's amazing. Congratulations.
Oh, you know, we were just, thanks, Bill. We were just hoping for 100 people back in 2011 to come to Cleveland and, go to the first Content Marketing World. And now we're in our seventh year. We've got almost 4,000 people from 70 countries coming in. And it's, believe it or not, Bill, it is now the largest annual business event in Cleveland, Ohio.
Congratulations. Joe, let's talk about who's coming and where they're going to be for us to host them the next few days.
We're down at the Cleveland Convention Center. We've got marketers, as I just said, from all over the world coming in. We've got, speakers this year. Joseph Gordon-Levitt director, producer, actor, fantastic. We've got Linda Boff, who's the chief marketing officer of General Electric, coming in. We've got another 200 speakers, believe it or not, Bill, coming in. And basically, if you are anyone in the marketing, communications, and PR industry, this is sort of the go-to event. More than anything else, you see events like this, Bill, in New York, you see them in Las Vegas, you see them in San Francisco. You rarely get a chance to see them in Northeast Ohio.
Joe, congratulations. I want to talk to you about the business of content. Look, it's the business I'm in. I'm fascinated it changes every 5 minutes, let alone every 5 months, as some people would want you to think. When it comes to trends in marketing, you made a great point on a recent podcast. The word traditional, I'm not sure what the word traditional, we can start using the word traditional for Snapchat, I think, anymore, as fast as things are moving. Joe?
Well, it's amazing. If you look before 1990, there were only 8 ways consumers could get information. And now today, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ways customers can get information. They've got a smartphone in their pocket 24/7. And what it's really come down to, Bill, is customers can't afford to ignore you. So if you don't create valuable, compelling, relevant information on a regular basis, whatever those channels are, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's Facebook, whether it's an e-newsletter, whether it's a podcast, we have to up our game, Bill. I think that's what it comes down to, because our customers are absolutely going to ignore our ads if they're not relevant in some way. And they want us, you know, we have to solve their pain points. We have to solve their challenges. And if we're not doing it as companies, you know, I think we're going to be lost out there. That's why we have to do things a little bit differently.
Joe, one other comment from you, if you would. It's Apple talking about content. I mean, the old story is you know, content is king. Apple is paying some king bucks. A lot of people think it's because of the streaming, and we'll see more maybe at Apple World in September. But you've got Amazon, Netflix, all these different ways for content. It looks like Apple's ready to pay some big bucks, too.
Yeah, we just heard the news. I mean, Apple's basically going to fork down $1 billion in original content. And they're really, you know, the word is they're going to go up against the Netflixes and the Disneys of the world and really try to go direct. And I think we see this trend happening, not even companies like Apple, but companies like Cisco Systems, local companies like Lincoln Electric and Progressive. What we realize is we don't have to go through the media anymore. I mean, I know you're in this industry, Bill, so you know what's going on. You can go direct to customers, and Apple knows this, and they want to keep the attention of their customers so they buy more iPhones. They're going to have to invest in original content and then deliver that original content to customers and prospects so they buy more of their products and services.
Content Marketing World in Cleveland. We're hosting people from around the world, so let's all be nice. And you'll be seeing more on Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing, I'm sure, as we continue to show off Cleveland this week. Joe Polizzi. Joe, congratulations on the success of this. We look forward to a great week in our town.
Bill, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It happens on Saturday. Tell me why first. Why are we shaking with laughter? Let's remind everybody.
Well, my wife has Parkinson's, so she's the shaking. I'm a comedian, so I'm the laughter.
You're the funny guy.
So, yeah, we're together. She's shaking with laughter. And we decided to do this right after my wife got diagnosed, which was, oh, gosh, going on 10 years ago. And
how's Dr. Karen?
She's doing great.
Good.
She had her in last year, which was, I couldn't make it. I had this a movie I was shooting.
Mm-hmm. You're a little busy.
Yeah. But so we wanted to raise money for research, and figured I'd call on some of my friends from the business and put on a show. And we're hoping to make like $20,000, and it turned out we made well over 100 that first year. And this year, all goes well, we will pass the $1 million mark.
That is so fantastic. I mean, to take something that affects you as a family, mm-hmm, and to say, how can we help? How can we get involved to get the word out, to make a difference, and the bottom line, raise money for research, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're selfish. We're trying to find Karen a cure.
Well, I understand completely. And we want to laugh about it, though.
Right.
We want to
open
up about this.
Right.
When you're diagnosed, there's all this hush, hush, and you guys took the stance of let's laugh, let's be a part of this.
Yeah,
thing,
well, right? It took us, it took Karen 2 years to actually reveal it. That's one of the things with Parkinson's, it makes it really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
She was a physician and a surgeon, and people have preconceived notions about how people are able to function when they have this disease. So at some point you realize, you know what, rather than hide it, if I'm out there working and showing that people can do it with Parkinson's, then that's a better thing. And so we went on and opened up and decided to raise some money.
Talking about the event on Saturday, Shaking for Laughter, and raises money for Parkinson's research. Mark Jaffe in studio with me. There's more at WTAM.com, keyword communities. Saturday night, Ohio Theater Playhouse Square. We've always had jazz music, so talk about the event. Well, what are we going to see and experience?
Yeah, we've got Dominic Farinacci, local boy made good. He's originally from Solon, now lives in New York, but he's setting the jazz world on fire. Man, this guy plays trumpet unbelievable, and he's got a quintet with him, and mm-hmm, and a vocalist, Chanel Johns, who is a young ingenue, whatever that means. I don't know. I think it's a female version of engineer or something.
Yes.
But she can belt it out. She's really amazing. And we got comedian Jimmy Dunn opening the show, and he might have seen on the CBS show The McCarthys. He was one of the people there. Of course, the show's canceled, so that's why he can join us.
That's funny.
Which is,
he's got time to do this
right,
sort of thing, right?
So, yeah, it's going to be a great show, and it's always fun, a lot of energy at the Ohio Theater, we hope you can come on by.
Somebody in your family touched by the Parkinson's, you touched by it, you want to find out more, Shaking with Laughter is a great night to be involved, right?
Yeah, and or you can also, if you can't make it, there's our Charity Buzz Auction. which always is a lot of
fun.
What
you got up there this year?
This year we have a lot of fun things, some Indian stuff. We got
your tribe shirt on this
Yeah, I got my tribe shirt on. We've got, you can have rooftop drinks with Ed Solomon. Friend of mine. Ed is the writer of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Men in Black, and Now You See Me, and also this new movie, which they just announced yesterday with Steven Soderbergh coming out, Mosaic, where it's like going to be take the technology by storm, because you can follow, you get to pick which character you want to follow.
You want to be in the, right.
in the movie, and you get to choose, and it's going to be something else.
So you can bid on those things.
You can bid on those things at charitybuzz.com. And we're also going to have, it's not up yet, but keep an eye out, a walk-on part on Curb Your Enthusiasm and
really?
Get to meet Larry David.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, you're calling on all your buddies.
Yep. Yeah.
Calling all the favorites, as always. All right, so Saturday's the night, Ohio Theater. Still got some tickets available?
Oh, yeah, plenty Beautiful. Of tickets available. Lots of different ranges. We got $75, $49, and $22, so anybody can come and enjoy the show.
Fantastic. It's Saturday, Ohio Theater, Public Square, Shaking with Laughter. Mark, always good to see you. Tell Doc Karen we said hey.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks, partners. I want to get Bill Zemper in here at the National Desk. We got some concern about North Korea. A few things happened over the long Labor Day weekend. Bill, good morning. What do we know here first?
Well, what we do know is that they conducted their sixth nuclear test over the weekend on Sunday, set off a hydrogen bomb that touched off a magnitude 6.3 earthquake in North Korea. So we know they conducted another nuclear test, and we know that they're not listening to any reasonable request for negotiations or diplomatic solutions. So we're back to a situation where there is no clear answer. UN Security Council met in emergency session yesterday, again called for very stringent sanctions on North Korea, but the UN Security Council can deliver strong words, and that's about it. And just to give you an idea, this is the 10th time this year the UN Security Council has met on North Korea, and here we are in the same situation.
You mentioned the Security Council. There's a cut from Nikki Haley.
His abusive use of missiles and his nuclear threats show that he is begging for war. War is never something the United States wants. We don't want it now. But our country's patience is not...
Bill, the White House is talking about now countries that are trading with the North. Can we somehow cut their oil? Things like that?
Well, Donald Trump went so far as to tweet over the weekend that we could stop all trade with any country doing business with North Korea. Sounds like it might be a viable idea, but when you look at it, there are 100 countries doing trade with North Korea, including our biggest trading partner, China, along with Russia, India, Mexico, France, Saudi Arabia. One economist said that if we did that, it would be apocalyptic for the U.S. economy. So I don't think so.
All right, Bill Zimfer on North Korea. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome.
Best team coverage of the Browns. Your morning Browns update on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Fred Greetham follows the Browns force at scout.com. They've got the Steelers on Sunday to open it up. Hi, Fred.
Hey, good morning.
4-0. I know it was preseason, but look, the where this franchise has been in the past, as Hugh says, look, you keep score, we want to win.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere. That's what he said, and I agree. I mean, they've got over 40 of the 53 guys are first, second, third-year players. They're young. They haven't experienced winning, so you might as well win somewhere, and they took advantage of the preseason.
Fred, you look at some of the moves now since they paired the roster on Saturday to 53. They've gone out and claimed some players. I think we all thought they would be looking to upgrade the receiving core, and they made the deal to get Sammy Coates from the Steelers. But obviously that they've indicated to us by these moves that they weren't satisfied there in terms of the core. But you've got the guys now, they're going to be playing with Kaiser for the first time this week going into this game, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you've turned over your wide receiver core. Three of the six now are just joining the team, getting to know each other, meeting each other yesterday, you know, for lunch or whatever. And you even have a new quarterback. So right now you have four quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, it's a little scratch in your head because these are things you do usually in May or June, you know, before training camp, and you're turning over the bottom of the roster, and some of these, of course, the starters pretty much are set, but a lot of these guys, particularly the wide receivers, are new, and there's only three that have been with the team through the off-season program. So that will be a getting acquainted time.
Well, if they're going to try to hang in there with Pittsburgh, they're going to have to run the ball a bit, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I think that's the formula for this team is especially with the rookie and they beefed up the offensive line, hand the ball off, try to condense the game, and then hope the defense can contain, you know. But good luck with Le'Veon Bell coming back and Antonio Brown and, of course, Big Ben.
Well, you know, the preseason, and we all understand that, and I think it was great to try to get some sort of a winning feel, and I get where Hugh was in the preseason, but now this defense, they did some good things, but that was preseason. We're going to find out how much progress they've really made or upgraded right out of the box, aren't we, Fred?
Yeah, and and that's where we all remember, you know, Brandon Weeden started as a rookie. You know, of course, he was a little older, and his, you know, I think he had 4 interceptions, a rating of about 8. You just think the Steelers are going to throw everything at DeShone Kizer. They have to do whatever they can to protect the kid's psyche. You know, of course, you have the Browns, you know, home fans, but you don't want the kid to have such a bad, you know, showing in his opener. And so I just think they have to go the route of protecting him and getting the ball on the ground, getting the running game going.
Browns Steelers Sunday. Fred Greatham follows the Browns for us. Best team coverage of the Browns at scout.com. Find out more at WTAM.com. Keyword Browns. Follow Fred on Twitter, too. Thanks, Fred.
All right. We'll see what happens.
You can text the word Harvey. Easy. Just text the word Harvey to 90999, and you'll make a $10 donation to the Red Cross. You can also go to their website, redcross.org, and thanks for what you're doing when it comes to raising money and help with Harvey, and now worried about Irma in Florida. You know, you can watch HGTV, get all these ideas, but you go to Homerama, and you'll walk through, and you'll feel and your experience what's going on in home building now, because it's back. Homerama returns to Northeast Ohio. Brent Callahan in studio. Good to see you, first of all. Executive Director of our Home Builders Association. They brought the big guy, too.
Yes, we did.
How are you?
Ted Otero, our HBA President.
Ted, good to see you, man.
Nice to see you, Bill.
All right, let's talk Homerama. For a generation, it's back. For some, maybe they didn't know we ever had one, but we did for many, many years, and now it's bigger and better, and we're working on it, and it starts this weekend, right, Brenda?
Yes, it does, and we actually stepped it up this year. It's actually Homerama 2.0, and as you said, it's back bigger and better than ever. It's been 10 years since we've had one. But just to show you, the housing market is back. It's September 8th through the 24th at Barrington Estates in Aurora. We have $4 million-plus homes, and Ted has one of those homes in the Homerama. Just absolutely beautiful homes to come out and see, but there's a lot more going on.
It's fun. You walk around homes. Let's say you're not Mike Snyder. Maybe you're not in the market for a $1 million home right now. At least you can walk around and get ideas for your home, right, Ted? That's one of the great things.
Absolutely. I mean, this home show is good for the entire family. I mean, anything you're looking for, whether you're looking for remodeling ideas or you're looking to build a new home, or you just want to come and spend a nice day at a beautiful golf course community. It's going to be fantastic for everyone.
Look in the backyard. If you see a Titleist, I probably left it there at some point over the years. I'm looking at Otero's website, the work that you do, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about current designs. It looks like in some ways, if you've got the budget, the desire, you can put so many things together in one room. You've got people enjoying family time, not just the man cave anymore. It's everything now, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we are designed as a custom home builder, so we can do virtually anything. What we're showing in the home show and the Homerama is a modern farmhouse design, which is just spectacular.
Where are we at in design now? Are we going to stay with these grays and the whites for a while, you think?
It seems like it's going to be there. It seems like that's a little timeless, and people are trending in that direction, but the consumer leads that. So as times change, we're going to go with the consumer.
All you need is one designer to say, go. Gold's back in and everything.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The gold look is back in.
Yeah. Forget the dark colored wood. We're going to go with light all of a sudden. Right?
Don't call it brass. Call it gold.
Exactly. Brenda, what do I need to know? How do I get involved? A ticket, that sort of thing.
Okay. The tickets are available online at hbacleveland.com. There's $2 coupons at all the discount Drug Mart stores. But just to expand on a little bit more of what we've got going on, it's kind of like a street fair and a home show all in one. I mean, we have family days on Sundays. Kids 12 and under are free. We've got full course basketball. Playground World, we're going to have face painters.
You got bands on Friday and Saturday nights. It's spectacular.
Outstanding. So you say the whole family. I mean, some years you want to, you know, you're trying to have, if you want to have a date night, you can do that because it would be fun to look at houses. But the kids are with you, fine, bring them along, right?
That's absolutely right. We also have a Ladies' Day this year, which is something different. On September 21st, we have the comedian Mary Factor coming out. She's going to do a presentation called The Six Ages of Women, and it's very funny. It takes women from their teenage years on up through senior citizens. We also have the Wandering Wardrobe out there, and then chocolate and wine tasting, everything that we women love to
love to do.
So anyway, that's on September 21st. And then also 84 Lumber, our presenting sponsor, is giving away $8,400 worth of cabinetry.
Wow.
For your kitchen, for your bathroom. So you can sign up for that. And then we have the Home Expo Pavilion, just like we talked a little bit about earlier, the different design. Mm-hmm. We have some vendors out there that you can talk to, everything from windows, flooring, roofing, all that. And then we also have some seminars going on Saturday afternoons. And then in the evenings, as Ted mentioned, we've got some local bands playing every Friday and Saturday night. So,
fun.
Again,
it's a
lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Well, you put a lot of thought into it. After all, it is 2.0.
That's right.
HBA 2.0, Homerama 2.0 kicks off Saturday, goes through the 24th.
Yes.
Barrington hours. You can check all that at the website and find out more.
Yes, and it's Absolutely. Thursdays through Sundays.
Excellent. Ted, good seeing you. The home building business, you know, it just seems like driving around, it's getting busy again, which
Absolutely.
Is great to see. You see a lot. There's activity,
yep.
It seems like.
And right? Anyone that's any good is very busy. Subcontractors are busy, and the economy is going very strong in the industry. We just got to keep it going.
Fantastic. Good seeing you. Brenda, good seeing you.
You
and
too.
The website again for more information?
It's hbacleveland.com.
All cranks up Saturday. Enjoy. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and Jim Rosenhaus with the Morning Indians Update brought to you by Falls Motor City. Hi, Rosie.
Good morning, Bill.
Busy weekend. We were all listening to games. Have they lost yet, Jim? Any losses?
Nope, no sign of a loss, Bill. Things still rolling right along.
So we're updated. 5-3 yesterday, their 12th straight, but I know Mike's been playing some of the cuts, and you guys have been talking to, I know, Terry Francona. Look, it's one game at a time. What happened last week, last month, doesn't matter. He says, let's go out and figure out a way tonight to beat the White Sox again, right?
Yeah, that sure seems to work, doesn't it? I mean, and really, you know, I think from his standpoint, he looks at it as he's been kind of working with a roster that's a little bit different than the Indians had expected because of injuries to key players. And I think that's the most exciting thing for him. You have a young kid, Francisco Mejia, comes up with a big base hit that drives in a run yesterday, and seeing some young players get their first major league hits out of the way, stuff like that. But, you know, they keep getting good starting pitching, which is it's huge. And then the flip side of that is they're scoring runs early and lately against two ball clubs that are going to have bad seasons. So they're getting up early, and it's a lot easier to play that way. So I think he's just happy with the way they're playing, but you'll take a 12-game win streak anytime.
Yeah, you will. And you mentioned Mejia. That was nice to see him get his first hit. You can tell, I mean, even Tito talked about it. He's just a hitter, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. He had the base hit, obviously, yesterday, his first in the major leagues, but three consecutive plate appearances, he hit the ball right on the screws, and he's a line drive hitter, and you've seen that already in a very small sample size, but he has, at least so far, he's had really good at-bats and hasn't seemed to be overmatched at the major league level.
Jim, you mentioned starting pitching. Trevor Bauer, 15 wins. Also, one of the at-bats that we'll be talking about, his exchange with Abisail Garcia. Trevor said, showed him the door there. I guess Garcia was chattering. That was a unique sight, wasn't it?
It was, and it, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere, but I mean, Trevor's out there trying to pitch well, and he is the, I mean, I'm sure there's other players on the team who might react in a similar fashion, but he's not going to take any baloney. And apparently Garcia was chirping, and so Bauer, you know, he's not going to take that laying down, and he just chirped right back at him, and then in just a tremendous tirade after the game, or not even tirade, I shouldn't say, but an explanation, shall we say?
Yeah.
Very pointed explanation of exactly what happened, and The bottom line is he didn't want to take any business from Garcia and told him where he could go.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, it was interesting, too, the way, as you mentioned, Trevor put it, wasn't a tirade. He just said, well, you know, as far as I know, I'm allowed to make any pitch. I guess Garcia was saying, why do you keep throwing me breaking balls? And as Trevor said, he goes, I think the rules are, you know, I'm allowed to throw anything I want to throw. And by the way, after he struck out, three strikes, you're out. Go sit down.
Hey, Garcia's having a good season, but look, there's a lot better hitters in baseball than him. I couldn't imagine Jose Altuve sitting there yelling out to the pitcher, "Hey, you're not throwing me fastballs. You know, you got to throw. You know, why are you throwing me curveballs?" And I mean, that's nonsense, is what that is.
Salazar tonight on pitch count.
Yeah, and yeah. Talking to Mickey Callaway yesterday, he said, "Look, with Salazar, they don't care how long he goes. They just want him to come out and let it rip. Throw hard, as hard as, you know, don't hold it back trying to pace yourself that you have to go seven innings. If they have to get him out of there three innings in because he's gassed, that's okay. They want him to go out, throw his good stuff, don't leave anything back, and then they'll just go to the bullpen when they need to. So we'll see how that works out tonight.
Their 12th win in a row last night with a 5-3 win. Jim Rosenhaus with the Indians update. Your Indians warm-up tonight with Nick Camino at 7 o'clock on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Rosie follows in the Tribe of the White Sox at 8:10 on WTAM 1100. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys.